Hi, and thank you for joining us today. So we were talking, this is totally not what we plan to do today, but we were talking about different diets and how our clients will go to different diets. They listen to different people. And we've talked about this before, but both of us have been doing a deep dive into different diets and thought this would be a great topic for today. So Daniel, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Jennifer, how are you doing?
I am great. Actually, I am really great. I've been taking care of myself, which is something that I'm not very good at, but I've been concentrating on me. So I did not talk about who we are. So I am Jennifer Whitmire, also known as Holistic Jen. And this is my podcast partner, Daniel Hardy. And you go by Dan the Natural Man.
Yes, yes.
Yes. And so you can find him on YouTube at Dan the Natural Man and me at Holistic Jen with a W. Holistic Gym. Anyway, so thank you for joining us. So what we were just talking about was the Weston A. Price diet. So when you have some kind of bowel construction, reconstruction in the hospital, what type of advice do you get? That kind of thing. You know, I've had clients who had Crohn's disease. I've had clients who've had different sections of the bowels removed. My father-in-law even had his colon removed. And in the hospital, they tell you to eat a lot of dairy, that things like ice cream and cheese, that those are very soothing to the intestines. And that goes totally against what we learned at the School of Natural Healing, where dairy creates inflammation. As a matter of fact, Dr. Schultz said, if you can only get people to give up one thing, it has to be the dairy. And that he said that above gluten, above meats, all of that. He said dairy first, have to get rid of the dairy. And so when I look at the Weston A. Price diet, we're going to talk about several different ones. And we're not going to say what's right and what's wrong. We're just going to give you the pros and cons. But I've read several books. One is Healing Naturally, Getting Well Naturally from the Soil to the Stomach. Really great book. It talks about the Weston A. Price diet and how it was formed. It was a dentist who studied the teeth, the health of different teeth of people here and people in Africa. And he looked at what they ate and, you know, in the tribal people, they would eat different meats and the milk and stuff like that, and looked at their teeth and how their teeth stayed strong and compared them to the people where he lived. Well, there is a lot that could go wrong with that study. And the whole thing that all these people follow, this Weston A. Price, is all based on that. And so that's only one study, A. And I haven't done the research. I haven't gone in and looked to see how many other people have studied this. But I can see so many reasons why the people in Africa who hunted and slaughtered their own food, why they would be eating one way and it would be healthy for them compared to someone here in the U.S. eating meat and cheese. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a totally different lifestyle. These people, you know, these are tribal people, correct?
Yes.
So, I mean, first of all, the lifestyle is totally different. These people live out in nature. They don't have all the stressors we have in America, like all these Wi-Fi radiation all around. They don't have all the traffic. And, you know, and how did they prepare this food? Was it, did they cook it or was it raw or?
I don't know, but even if they did, it wouldn't be long-term storage.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be prepared with flours and battered or fried or cooked in oils.
Yeah. And I can tell you they didn't overeat either because
they didn't overeat. Yes.
You know,
and if they did have dairy, how much dairy could it be?
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if they fermented it to make a cheese or something, I mean, there's no way to store it and things like that. So
it's probably also feast and famine, you know, feast and famine, because, you know, I mean, intermittent fasting does have benefits.
Yes. So. Yes. And, I mean, you just watch those reality TV shows, Survivor and stuff. You see, I mean, there's not a lot of food to eat. Mm-hmm. And they definitely go between meals and things like that. And when they do catch some kind of meat or something, it's hurry and cook it and eat it all. Right.
Yeah.
And yes, they do eat the whole animal. So that can be beneficial. And they mostly greens.
Oh,
And
yeah.
so a lot of it has to do with the greens. And the dairy is not pasteurized, which is something that she talks about in this book. And so she talks about how when the study was done, even the in America, the cheese wasn't pasteurized, and so it was all raw dairy. And
Yeah.
so there's a complete difference, and she mentions that in the book as well, a difference between raw dairy and pasteurized dairy. And here in the US, I don't know what how many states or what states have allow human consumption of raw dairy. Here in my state, you cannot sell it, or it's forbidden to be sold for consumption, human consumption. You can sell it for your animal fodder, but we can't have it here. And so
Yeah.
maybe there are benefits to that. Natural enzymes in there. Why did they pasteurize it? To kill all the germs, based on Louis Pasteur and his germ theory, which we now know is germs can be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we grew up in a world where you had to kill all the germs, and now we're like, oh crap, why
And it
did we kill
kills
all
us.
the germs? Yes, so that's my thoughts on Weston A. Price. So I think that if you were in a situation like that, these people were active all day long.
Oh, yeah.
They ate very, very high fiber diets, as well as the meat and the dairy. So I think that there is a place for that.
It's like the Chinese, the rural Chinese, they're really healthy. They use
Right.
meat. They use meat as like a flavoring. They a little bit of meat, but mostly
It's a
plant.
condiment.
Yes.
Yes. And so
We
it's
get
not
away
like
with
us
that.
where we have the meat and then we add the little vegetables to the side. Theirs
Yeah.
is the vegetables, a little bit of meat on the side.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Not
Yeah.
6 ounce porterhouses. That's ridiculous.
Right. That is just crazy, crazy, crazy. Yes. So that's my thoughts on Weston A. Price. And like I said, there could be some benefits to that. Now, that being said, I think that pasteurized dairy is extremely inflammatory. The dairy you buy in the grocery store, extremely inflammatory. If you buy the fermented dairies like a yogurt, kefir, well, even cheese is fermented, but it's pasteurized. When you buy it at the grocery store, if it's not pasteurized, the probiotics they put in there, the strains that they put in there, they're going to be cheap. And we don't know how long they've been sitting there, which varieties or strains are going to survive in storage. And by that, how long ago were they made? How were they transported? How long did they sit in the grocery store? How long are they in your fridge before you actually eat them? What strains are going to survive all of that process? And they have to start with inexpensive strains. Otherwise, you're going to be paying way too much for your product. And so that's not a good way to get probiotics. Making your own yogurt, your own kefir, things like that. That is a great way. You can buy strains to use for home culturing. You can buy your own probiotics and make those things with your own probiotics. I do that. I've just broken up the capsules, or you can even buy probiotic powders to make a much healthier yogurt. But I use dairy free. I don't use pasteurized dairy. Yes. So another diet I wanted to talk about is the book I read last weekend on my self-care weekend. I read the book Rainbow Green Living Food Cuisine. Is that what it's called? I have it over in the other room. It was Dr. Cozens. We talked about him last time. And so that is a very low glycemic raw vegan diet. So I read that last weekend. Fabulous book. And like we said, obviously there's no one size fits all. It is raw vegan. And so for someone who just had bowel constriction, a raw vegan diet is not going to be the right diet for them.
Yeah.
However, for someone who is in good health, someone who maybe has sluggish bowels, something like this is fabulous. Someone who's struggling with blood sugar control, blood sugar balance, excellent, excellent option. So I really like this book a lot. It's very rainbow green. So rainbow, I'm all about eating the rainbow. green. I'm all about adding the greens, and very low glycemic. So I do like it. And it has has phases where you start, might not even have any fruit, very low glycemic for phase one. And then there's phase 1.5 where you can have some more fruits. And then phase two, where it's really most of your fruits and vegetables included in there. But it's all about getting blood sugar under control as well as being anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, I saw a documentary on his clinic and it was very good. They take in type 2 diabetics and it's like it's a retreat. And some of these people within a day or two, their blood sugar is already becoming normal again.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Dr. Rita Marie has a program, Fasting While Feasting, which incorporates the intermittent fasting, like you talked about. Okay. But it also is very rainbow. It would definitely qualify with the rainbow green and living foods. It was very high greens, very low glycemic, and it follows transition into another diet. The, I can't think of the name. It'll come to me in a minute. It's a purchase product. You buy these foods that are a set amount of calories, where you eat like 500 calories one day and 800 calories the next day for 5 days.
Yeah.
Darn. I wish I could think of it. It's something like intermittent fasting, but that's not the name. Hopefully it'll come to me in a minute and we can talk more about it, but it's where you restrict calories as well as eating these low glycemic foods. And you use these it's not store-bought, you have to order them online. These products, you mix up shakes and stuff like that. So Dr. Rita Marie's is using real food instead of the purchased foods. But what my point was, in 3 days, she had somebody who had diabetes, who had been on insulin for, I want to say 20 years, who actually was able to reduce their insulin. And they may have even gone off their insulin at the end of the 5 days. After 20 years.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, the intermittent fasting helps to stabilize your blood sugar too. And then yes. I've seen studies with like the 800 calorie diets. Mm-hmm. That starts to lower people's blood sugar as well. So yeah,
right.
3 or 4 days, like even Dr. McDougall, he has clinics too. And he says 2 or 3 days, their blood sugar will be normal, you know?
Yes. I was trying to look it up while I was here, and maybe it'll come to me in a minute. Oh, I know it's got a name. Anyway.
Not Shakeology, is it?
No. It's not right for everyone. Just like I said, there's no one size fits all. If your body is under stress, restricting calories like that and fasting is definitely not right for you. If you have an autoimmune condition, especially autoimmune thyroid, and you're under chronic stress and you do something like this, it's probably going to create a flare, autoimmune flare. And so I don't want anyone listening. First of all, we did not give a medical disclaimer, but I don't want anyone listening to listen to one of these diets and go, oh, that sounds great, I want to do that. You have to do your own due diligence. You have to look at where you are, what your health is like right now before you get into one of these things. For me, I actually tried one of these. I do have an autoimmune condition. And like I said in the beginning, I am not very good at self-care. And I did go into an autoimmune flare, and it was horrible. And I did it to myself. I restricted my calories when I was already under a lot of stress. And what happens is your body backfires. You know, we are in danger. I need to store fat as well as the autoimmune flare, and those symptoms come back as well. And so you don't want to do something where you're restricting calories if you're under a chronic state of stress.
Totally agree, because your cortisol goes up, and I guess it's good to get a cortisol test before to figure out what you need to do.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Something like a Dutch test would be fabulous to see where you are. And some things that you'll know, how is your sleep? You know, things like that. Are you taking time during the day to take care of yourself? You know, those things are really great to think about before you do something like that. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about starch solution.
Well, starch solution is the total opposite of the Cousins diet, or was it Rainbow Greens, you say?
Rainbow Green. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But McDougal's, he's a doctor, I think for like 40, 45 years. He still has a 10-day clinic where you can go in with type 2 diabetes, and he starts you on the starch solution, which is, it's a whole food, plant-based diet, no oil, but it's based around starches, potatoes, rice, even pasta. And so, and then vegetables are kind of like an afterthought.
Uh-huh.
This guy, he said he has a 100% success rate with reversing type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. His theory, you know, we talked about this before, his theory is it's fat. And there's studies on this that if you eat too much fat, it can basically clog up your cells. And so when the insulin tries to push the blood sugar into the cell, it can't get in. And so when you go low fat, the body starts to clean the fat out of the cells. Then the insulin can work and get the blood sugar back into the cell. And apparently it works for a lot of people because people can reverse it that way too. So there's so many different ways, you know.
Right.
I guess I'm more of a – I eat a good bit of starch. I guess I'm kind of a McDougal / raw because I try to eat at least half raw every day. I would like to go fully raw, but, you know, it's kind of hard. Mm. When you have a partner that's, you know, but I say more fruit based. So, I mean, I stay pretty lean. So,
yeah. And I have eaten starch based. When I first went vegan, I was definitely eating starch based. And I'm trying to think back. I've tried, you know, because I teach this, I do all the diets. And so I can't remember, you know, what my body did here or there. But I did very well on the starch-based diet, but it was also transitioning from not being vegan to being vegan at the same time too. Like, you know, we would eat, potato waffles for breakfast every morning, you know, things like that. If I ate that right now, my blood sugar would go too high. And so it's interesting. But I also went through menopause. It was before, probably before premenopause, all the way through. So before I could eat that, but now I can't. So maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe it's the hormones.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I would eat, I ate oatmeal a lot in the mornings. I ate potato waffles. Have you made potato waffles?
No.
No. So for those of you who can't eat starches, best thing ever. All you need is a waffle iron and a baked potato. You just bake your potato. If you use microwaves, microwave a potato for 3-4 minutes and just stick it in your waffle iron, close the waffle, and you have a giant hash brown. It is a...
Oh, man.
It is amazing.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So we would just bake, you know, several potatoes, stick them in the refrigerator, and in the morning, throw them on the waffle iron.
That sounds good.
How easy is that? Who doesn't like hash browns?
Well, one thing I find interesting about the starch solution is a lot of people that get on it get really skinny. And McDougal is only 140 pounds, right?
Right.
Myself, now I lift heavy weights, but I've never gotten really skinny. I'm still 190, 95 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
McDougal claims you'll get down to 150 pounds. Well, I don't want to, but I don't think everybody will. Now I'm lean. Now I do lift. But some people get really skinny on a starch solution.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. This proves everybody is different. And
everybody is different. Yes, for sure. Yes. Yes. And like we said, you know, I tried to find the name of that diet and I can't find it. It's like alternate day fasting, but it's with a, I can't find it. Anywho, what I was going to say was we're all unique. And so we have to look at the genes, your genetic, predisposition as well. So for like me, I have a lot of genes for high cholesterol. A lot of family members have high cholesterol. Some have had heart conditions. And so I want to make sure I don't eat a lot of saturated fat. Where when we eat like vegan cheeses and things, they're usually made with cashews. The creamy sauces are made with cashews. Those are very high in saturated fats. And so that's something that I have to really watch out for. And so when I do look at something like the rainbow green, it does have lots of greens and lots of rainbow vegetables, but it's also lots of nuts, lots of sauces and things made with nuts. And so I have to look at those. One of the things that I always look at are the omega-3s. I want to make sure that I'm getting more omega-3s over my omega-6s. Here in the U.S., most people eat 25 to 1 or 20 to 1 omega-6 to 3, where, I mean, 1 to 1 would be ideal. If you can get 4 to 1, that would be excellent. And so I try to add things like walnuts, chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds. I actually have them pretty much every day in my breakfast, at least one of them every day, just to help with that. Some people have genetics where they need more omega-3s and they have to take things like, some people take fish oil, some people take algae oil. There are vegan substitutions that you can do that have DHA to help convert those fatty acids to help fight inflammation. So for people who have inflammation going on, you know, joint pain, muscle pain, things like that, it could be an imbalance of omega-6s, omega-3s. But that was totally a tangent, right? So another diet, I've read about it, but I haven't read the book. I just got it. It's next on my list after I finish reading. I'm reading, so I didn't say what I'm reading. So I read the Natural Healing, the Soil to Your Gut, or whatever it was called. But so now I'm reading a gut healing book as well. That's also Weston A. Price, and it's a lot of organ meats and all that. So I don't totally agree with that, but I'm still going to read the book and see. There's got to be parts in there that I agree with. And then I have this one, the Body Ecology Diet. I actually follow Donna Gates. Can you even see that? I have it all blurry. Anyway, the Body Ecology Diet. It's all about probiotic nutrition and alkaline diet. And so I like that as well. There's Dr. Susan, I want to say Evans. I can't think of her name, but she's also very much in the alkaline diet and bone health and the importance of eating a rainbow green diet for your bones. Yes. And so I'm interested in reading. I didn't know if you were familiar with either one of those.
The alkaline diet, I think I'm not really familiar, but it's based around a lot of green vegetables, and is it spirulina, things like that? Is that
alkaline? Well, actually, alkaline diet is mostly most of the rainbow vegetables. Carrots are more acidic, but you look at the acidity of the fruits and vegetables. I think all fruits are alkaline. Most of your vegetables, tomatoes and carrots, are not. Most of your seeds, maybe all the seeds and a few nut, like almonds, are alkaline, but the other nuts are a little more acidic, but they're all on a grade, a scale, so that you can see. You want to make sure, like dairy and meat, they're very acidic. You want to be over here. All your greens are very alkaline, and it's, it's based on, so it's Dr. Susan Brown. Excellent. She has another book that's really great on the alkaline diet. She talks about, she's very much about bone health. So for anyone who is concerned about osteoporosis or their bones, I strongly recommend that you look into Dr. Susan Brown. She has lots of YouTubes as well. So where was I going with that? With the alkaline diet, you want to make sure you're eating heavy on the greens and the low alkaline type foods and less of the others. The typical American eats a very acidic diet, very meat and cheese heavy, which creates acid in the body, which from PCRM, Dr. Neil Barnard, he's written a lot about this, as well as Dr. Clapper, how when we eat dairy, it creates more acid. And we have to neutralize that acid, which means we have to pull minerals from the bones to help neutralize those acids. So we actually end up in a calcium deficit. So people eat dairy thinking they're going to increase their calcium. But because the dairy is so inflammatory, we have to use that calcium to protect the heart. And we actually even need more, which pulls more calcium from the bones. And so it's actually depleting, which is why, or what is suggested is people in the UK and the US have so much osteoporosis compared to other countries that don't eat so much pasteurized dairy. We had the I don't think they even do it anymore. Do you still see the milk commercials? I don't have regular TV, so that might be why I don't see it. But where they had all the sports people, you know, the ads where they had the milk mustache and, you know, drink milk. I don't see those.
There's a war now between dairy milk and nut milk. So I don't
know. That's true too. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I know you haven't read about the alkaline diet, but just from that, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I totally agree with the dairy causing osteoporosis. You know, David Crisper talked about that, but also McDougall was talking that McDougall also said that, you know, America, they recommend getting at least 1,000 or 1,500 milligrams of calcium a day. And McDougall said, I think it's Japan, the women over there, they don't do a lot of dairy. They only get 300 milligrams a day of calcium, and their bones are stronger than ours. Because their diet is much more alkaline than ours is, so they're not so acidic. Over here, if you're eating a bunch of meat and dairy, you're so acidic, like you were just saying.
Yeah.
Your body's pulling calcium out of bones to try to keep the body alkaline. And so osteoporosis is really prevalent in America, where most people eat a lot of dairy. So think right. about that. So yeah, I totally agree that. And dairy also is really bad for the prostate, for you guys out there. Their studies. Yes. Yeah. So I agree.
So what I was going to add is when you add in processed flours, crackers, breads, all of those are acidic too. So if you're eating a sandwich, bread, meat, dairy, I mean, that's an acidic disaster right there.
Oh yeah.
That one and the tomato, but that one slice of lettuce or iceberg lettuce is not going to save you.
No. You have to eat about 10 pounds.
Yes. So that's the alkaline diet. And there's a lot more about that too. I was trying to think of another one that maybe people are a little not as familiar with. What's something else? There's so many out there.
Oh, I know. It's overwhelming, really.
It really is. It really is.
Can't think of any.
Yeah, we've talked about some of these other ones so much on other podcasts. But I just thought it was really interesting that, you know, I'm reading this book mostly because of a client right now. The doctor has told her to eat dairy and my thoughts about that. Yes. And so luckily, my client is very well informed, already kind of an expert on her own anyway. And so she has a dairy farm that she works with, and she only has raw dairy. So she is eating raw. She has some raw dairy that she's eating.
And yeah, we could get into that. I don't know a lot about it, but the dairy in the grocery store is a processed food. I mean, it's processed, right. You know?
Right. And a lot of even says, what does it say? Cheese like food or.
Yeah,
cheese. A lot of them will even say on there that it's not cheese.
Yeah, yeah. It with the Velveeta cheese slices?
Yeah. Well, probably. And like American cheese is not.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I have had raw cheese before. This is years ago. Mm-hmm. There used to be a dairy by my house. He actually could do raw cheese. Mm-hmm. That was when I was transitioning. I was eating a little bit of that. But now that I've been to Dr. Christopher's school, I won't touch it. You know, there's too much evidence for me personally to stay away from it. So.
Right. For me too. Yeah. We weren't created to breastfeed for the rest of our life.
No.
Right. And so we don't need to, you know, once you're weaned, we lose all of that. We don't need to digest dairy. There's really no reason to have dairy.
Well, plus it's a cow. We're not in the same species. It doesn't. You know,
right. Yeah. And cow's milk is to raise a baby cow, which I think Dr. Clapper is the one that talks about this too. You know, it goes from look at how fast a calf grows. I mean, they grow extremely fast. We have some farms around here and you'll see the cute little babies and they're like little puppies running around. And then the next day, you know, they're you know, so much bigger. And it's like, oh, I missed it. They're already juveniles. And then, you know, they just grow so fast. And so you have to think about the hormones in that calf, you know, that make it grow so fast. that it's getting from the breast milk, which is the milk that the humans are drinking. So people say, yeah, but they don't give them hormones. Hello, it's still breast milk. And so it still has hormones from breast milk.
Yes. Which is not good, especially if you're prone to cancers.
Right. And then cheese is condensed. Condensed. So that is so much hormone. Yes. And so if you have cells like cancer that you don't want to grow out of control, then this is definitely, dairy is not your friend.
No.
Yeah.
It's not. I mean, I hate it for the dairy farmers, but it's just not. It's for cows, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of dairy farmers that are really suffering. And yeah, I hate it for them. But it's just not for humans.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you have a diet you would like for us to look at or discuss, or you didn't agree with what we said today, we love to hear from you. Good comments, bad comments, we want to hear it all. And we want to know what else you would like us to talk about next time. So thank you for joining us.